Morning. Great band here. The guys that are playing here, thank you so much. Decades. Yeah, wow. Turn with me to Mark 15. Also, Pastor Brian and Paul are here. Good to have you back. And Binks and Abby, their daughter Lucy, had surgery, and that was a success. And wow, that's good to hear. And Matt Garrett had a little boy born the other day, 2 days ago. Yes, wow. The women's seminar was, I heard, excellent. Andrew gave the message Friday night on the caterpillar, cankerworm. And Laura did a great job organizing, and everybody, every portion. Wow, just great. That's what I want to share and speak this morning on a couple of thoughts that they link together. The first is Jesus being crucified here, Mark 15:16. And I think every part of what I want to share this morning could be a message in itself. So bear with me as we praise the Lord today. And the unity and the love that happens amongst Spirit-filled believers is amazing when we have the Spirit in us, and we are anointed of God to love and serve and believe. And this really happens. It really happens without hypocrisy. We'll look at the scripture in a minute. Out of pure hearts, wow, pure hearts, good intentions, good motives, like love, selfless love. Wow, that happens. Why does that happen with us? But because when Jesus was in verse 16, the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. They clothed him with purple, plaited a crown of thorns, put it about his head, began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Why was he mocked and why was he treated this way? But so that we wouldn't be. We would be not in the world, but by our Father, Heavenly Father, we would be accepted by him. Because everything that the world is doing to him, the evil world is rejecting him. And everything he's going through has something to do with us. Because he was judged, we are not. Because he is mocked, we are honored. What do you mean? Well, there's two worlds, the world, and how they treat godly people, what they think about God, how it is in a spiritual way. And then the other is heaven, and what does God think of us? How has he accepted us? How has he honored us? How has he clothed us? That's a good word. How has he clothed us? Jesus is stripped naked so that we would be clothed by God. Jesus is judged so we would be accepted and honored. He became poor so we might be rich. He was ridiculed so that we would be honored. Almost everything, if not everything that we read here, has to do with us. But we're not there because Jesus is there in our place. He's the substitute. He's the one judged. He's the one rejected. He's the one. So look at the text, verse 19. They smote him on the head with a reed. We could say, so that we would be anointed on our head with the Spirit. They did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. When they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, put his own clothes on him, led him out to crucify him. They compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. They bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. Isn't it interesting that in the very beginning, the first prophecy in the Bible is that the seed of the woman, Eve, would have a child that would crush the head of the serpent, kind of like a skull, we could say. Except the skull is just the bone, right? But the cross is on the skull, isn't it? The cross is on the hill Golgotha, the place of the skull, where the heel of Christ would crush the head of the serpent. That is for us. All of these things are for us, aren't they? If he is a substitute for us, bearing the judgment for us, isn't this for our benefit? Didn't he come for us? Didn't he come to save us? Didn't he come to take our wretchedness and replace it with his glory and his honor? Didn't he ascend? Let's say something about that word, ascend. He ascended into heaven, sat at the right hand. Usually we think of elevation, don't we? Like a plane is ascending, or the queen ascended the throne. It's kind of a high sound, like ascending, you know. Because with the word, it's also the idea of status, position, ascending, going up, not just elevation, but honor. When Jesus ascended into heaven, it wasn't just that he disappeared into the clouds. It was that he was given a position of great honor at the Father's right hand. This happened to him, and because of God's mind, his wisdom, his power, his plan, so that this would be ours also. Because didn't we ascend with him? Aren't we elevated? Not like altitude, but aren't we elevated in life? Aren't we honored by God because Christ was dishonored so that we would be honored? He was forsaken so we would never be forsaken. He was naked so we would have a wedding garment on. And we'd go to heaven with a wedding garment clothed. Where'd you get the garment? Christ. He did it. God the Father did it through his Son. Through his Son. So we are honored by God. Let's go to the text here. It says, verse 23, they gave him drink, wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. When they crucified him, they parted his garments and casting lots upon them that every man should take. It was the third hour they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the king of the Jews. With him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left. And that's like us too, dying with the wicked, dying in our with the transgressors. Us too, dying like an animal, Ecclesiastes said, like we die like dogs die or beasts die. We die like, and how low, how humiliating that is for us, made like angels, made like God. How humiliating it is to die when death works in our body. How when things, I have a little gout in my left foot a little bit. It just flamed up. It's just a new thing. Yeah, you know, what's new tomorrow? So, you know, it flamed. Another evidence of mortality, and these accumulate in time, don't they? And they happen, and it's in a way humiliating that we would be falling apart. But I just love this new life we have, and we have it. We have it. So this is our message from, we're going to 1 Peter. I think I'll just show you the text. I'll sit down. We'll take the offering. Or Pastor Eugene can go to the text. This will be the mess of the main message. It'll be 1 Peter chapter 1. Just a comment on verse 13. We'll look at that. You could go down through the chapter of chapter 1 from verse 13 down to 25. And then we'll go into chapter 2 and go down to verse 5. That'll be our text for today in our message. So let me repeat it. 1 Peter chapter 1, the effect of being born again. This is what it is. I tell you right now what we're going to speak about. The effect of being born again, what it means to be born again, it has an effect on your life. It affects you deeply. It's very real. It affects you deeply. This is described in these verses in chapter 1 down through the end of the chapter. And then in chapter 2, it says that verse 1, we lay aside, and it has five words that can happen in every police department, every hospital, every corporation, every company, every construction business, every marriage, every school, these five words. So look at verse 1. Malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. That's a big verse, verse 1. So we'll show you that we had a marriage seminar this past weekend, and those words are not in that fellowship. They can be. We have a church. These five words are not in our fellowship. You have a family. These five words are not in the family. You are born again, and this has an effect on you in a very deep way. Why? Because what Jesus went through was for you. It's for your honor, and it goes deep. It's deep in your heart and your spirit. So that'll be our message. So let's welcome Pastor Eugene. Well, good to see Mary LaFlame all the time. Well, always. Praise the Lord. People are funny. We're all, like, emotional. Sometimes hurt a lot. And how do we live, you know? Disappointments happen. Good things happen. We learn that we actually have a great resource, and that is God is on our side, cares for us, fills us with His Spirit, sent the Spirit into our lives so that we could live a different way. So this text here, we break it down in a couple parts and look at it this way. Look at chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Very important. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. Being born of the Spirit, not of corruptible seed. Well, you know, seed is all about life and reproduction. DNA is in the seed. And all kinds of things, like the world is filled with seeds. Insects, fish, animals, trees, all living things. They are somehow reproducing, and these are seeds. But we have an incorruptible seed. That means it's not from the first floor of the house, not from the earth. It's not from people. It's from God. When Mary was impregnated by God and the Holy Son of God was in her, the seed was from God, incorruptible. And so verse 23 says, it really happened to us too, that we were born again and by the word of God. Verse 23, do you see that? By the word of God. We are people with words. We have words, but then you have word of God, God's word. Word of God, that you hear it, and no, none of us really understand exactly how it all works, but there is the heart of man that is so unique, and he has the capability to hear and believe. And he's born of God with the incorruptible seed. This is translated into our lifestyle and how we are able to live. So this is leading us. We have verse 23, the being born again. And if we go backwards in the text to verse 13, we see some of the choices we have after being born again. We're able to gird up the loins of our minds, verse 13. What does that mean? We are able to be prepared in our mind. And if you come here to the church, you will hear a lot about concentration, quietness, selecting our thoughts, casting away certain thoughts in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Meditation, you'll hear a lot about prayer, praise, singing, singing, praise, the heart and the mind. How important is our mind? So this is verse 13 down through 14. Let's read it. Gird up the loins of your mind. Another way of saying, live a prepared, intentional life in your mind. Be sober. Let's see, I have meaning self-controlled. It is controlled. Some people are controlled by outward circumstances, and some are very painful. For illustration, I read this story about an African-American family in New York. They had inherited $10,000 from their father's life insurance policy. The mother of the household saw that money as a way to get out of Harlem, move into a little house with flower boxes in the countryside. The brilliant daughter of the family saw the money as a chance to live out her dream and go to medical school. But the older brother had a request. He wanted the money so that he and his friend could go into business. He tells the family that with the money he can make something of himself and make things good for the rest of them. He promises that he can just have the money, he can give it back, and all the blessings that their hard lives have denied them. Against her better judgment, the mother gave the money to her son. As you might suspect, the so-called friend takes the money, skips town. The desolate son has to return home and break the news to the family that he lost the money. His sister lashes out at him. She calls him every despicable thing she can imagine. She has no, her contempt for her brother has no limits. When she takes a breath in the midst of her tirade, the mother interrupts her and says, "I thought I taught you to love him." Love him? There's nothing left to love. The mother says, "There's always something left to love. And if you haven't learned that, you haven't learned nothing. Have you cried for that boy today? I don't mean for yourself and the family because we lost all the money. I mean for him, for what he's been through, what it's doing to him. Child, when do you think is the time to love somebody the most? When they have done good, made things easy for everybody? Well, then you haven't learned, because that isn't the time at all. It's when he's at his lowest, can't believe in himself, because the world done whipped him so. When you start measuring somebody, measure him right, child, measure him right. Make sure you done taken into account what hills and valleys he's gone through before he's got whatever he is." I bring that story up because it's reality, isn't it? This text has a lot to do with that pain. It has a lot to do with suffering. It has a lot to do with learning to live because you're born again. You're able to live a certain way. You're able to love. So Peter says here, and these are the Christians who are facing persecution, by the way. And that persecution word, we shouldn't pass over too quickly, because a lot of our sisters and brothers have died because of it, and today are suffering because of it. So how does this work? It says, verse 14, as obedient children. That's a big word too, obedient. We learn maybe how we should be, but we struggle with how to get there. And I like this part of our faith. We learn to praise God. We learn to be thankful to God. We learn not, we learn like we draw like a magnet. A lot of times we are drawn to the wrong things. We are drawn to judging, or we're drawn to anger. We are drawn to life like on that level that's so easy for us. But pray, being spirit-filled, being filled with the Spirit, this is where this is going. I want you to look at verse 14. Not fashioning yourselves according to the way you used to live, your former lusts and your ignorance, when you didn't know Christ, when you didn't have the Spirit of God, you were ignorant. You didn't know everybody is hating, everybody is angry, everybody is unhappy, everybody is complaining. That's like how we used to live in our ignorance. If something like that happened in my family, I would be very upset about it. But the natural man doesn't know God. And the spiritual man, the Christ in you, right? Christ is in you. You are born of God, born again. So go down to verse It explains how Jesus, like we shared in Mark 15, he was the precious Lamb of God, verse 19, by his blood we are redeemed, verse 20. By him we believe in God that raised him from the dead, verse 21, and gave him glory. That your faith and hope might be in God. Wow, our faith and hope might be in God. Help me, Lord. I don't know how much you've done this, but I have a lot recently. Oh, God, help me, Lord. These things, oh, God, my faith and hope is in God. And the simple prayers are a big part of our new life. Just ask God. He will answer you. Just bring your need to God. He will answer you. Your faith and hope is in God, the new man who dwells in us. And we care. Yesterday I went on a visit with Pastor Sterling and a few other brothers, Pastor Johnny Cooper, Dwight Marsh. A family from Oklahoma have been listening to our messages for some months. And the brother went before God, and he said, God, you're putting Baltimore on my heart. You're putting Baltimore on my heart. Maybe we should move there and try to help Baltimore City. Maybe we can move to Baltimore and be in that church. So he took his family, two children, his wife. They moved here. They live in White Marsh. Their two children are in our school. And he told me yesterday, just very encouraging testimony. He said, God put Baltimore on my heart. I feel like I had to move. I got a job up at Aberdeen Crew Proving Ground. We moved here. We're here. They come here. They're at the 11th service usually. And he was telling me about how he's lived. He's been a pastor in Missouri. He's been a pastor in Oklahoma. And now he's here. And he's part of our fellowship. And very edifying, brother. Very encouraging. He goes, this is what I got out of it. We praise God. We are thankful. We learn prayer. And he shared about that with us. About prayer was beautiful. And then he said, what is God doing? Where is God working? What does God want to do? I want to be part of the solution. I want to see what God is doing. I want to be part of that. And I thought about this, this new way of life. Like the mother in that family, saying to the daughter, okay, we all can be angry, but let's think about him. Let's think about your brother, my son. Let's go to God about it. What can we do? Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Lay aside. This word means, let's see. Rid yourselves of all malice. Malice, and these are five words that are sins of attitude and speech that are in us so easily, and we have to rid ourselves of them, like get rid of them. They almost are like an infection of something that gets under your skin. These things that are just part of our outside in our life as we react to our pain and our problems, we kind of live in that. And he says, rid yourself of this malice. And the word is wicked ill will. Kakion is the Greek word, wicked, ill will. Have you ever heard of somebody's blessing and then you wish you kind of want to curse them? Do you hear they got blessed so much? I remember the New England Patriots were winning the Super Bowls, and we just started, the whole country just started to despise them, except the fans. Because they're winning all the time. You know, they're winning all the time. What is that in us? Why do we don't like it when others are blessed or successful? Or why is it that somebody has something great and you don't say it on the outside? You cannot say those things publicly because it's just so evident you are jealous. But you think it. When are they going to fall down? The guy's been standing so long. When is he going to fall down? That family over there is blessed somehow. And when is there going to be something bad that happens? Those ideas. Don't sit there and pretend you don't know what I'm talking about. Like, don't look at me like that. You shake your head, yes, Pastor, I know exactly what you're talking about. Man. Okay. That malice, wicked ill will, has to get, you know, rid of it. Verse, right? Verse, next word is all guile. This is deceit. It's deliberate dishonesty. I had a dishonest thought recently. You want to hear it?
Yeah,
tell us. Yeah, I'm on that wavelength with you. Like, I'm going to sell my truck. I'm going to buy another one, and the price is, like, so much, maybe, so I could get some cash from somewhere and then write out a check from my account and Lisa's account. We have a joint checking account. And that check would be less money than what the actual cost of the truck was. So then my wife wouldn't know the full price of the truck. And you know what? You know what I did? I went right to my Bible. I turned to Acts 5. When Ananias and Sapphira did the same thing. And the Apostle Peter said, did you sell the land for so much? I mean, you know the story? And he dropped dead. And I could see the same thing happening with my wife. Did you buy the truck for so much? You know, and then like a few minutes later, I dropped dead. Okay, so what are we talking about here? Verse 1. All guile, that's deceit. Could you imagine being in a church where there are just like a lot of that dishonesty? Not honest, not being real with each other. We have that phrase, we have that word common amongst us, like it is real, like these people are real, like I trust them. I like being with these people. Like I feel there's a connection spirit to spirit. We're listening to the same message. We're worshiping the same God, drinking the same spirit, agreeing with the same doctrine, embracing the same purpose. We are actually in fellowship with Jesus Christ, and we actually know each other that way, that we've been born again. And that born again life is evident in the way we are, the way we talk, the things we do out of a pure heart. Go to the next word, and lay aside or get rid of hypocrisies. How do you do that? Before God. Why don't you just be honest with God and tell him you are a hypocrite? Why not? It's the best place to go to, God. Tell him about your hypocrisies. Tell him that it's not real. Tell him that you need the Spirit to fill you. Tell him that you want to be honest with your wife and your friends and your church. Tell your boss that who you are. Wouldn't it be amazing if your boss really trusted you? Wouldn't that be incredible that your boss actually, when he talks with you, he actually feels that you're being honest? And isn't it amazing that amongst us, as with our families and so on, we have to teach our children not to lie. We have to teach our children to walk with God and be humble and be honest and truthful. Because you don't gain by being this natural way. Because there are these words that are surfacing often. Look at the next one. Envies. That means resentful discontent. As I said earlier, and then backbiting or slander is the fifth one. Evil speakings, backbiting, slander, backbiting lies. I heard Dr. Wanda gave a great message yesterday. Pybe Jensen gave a great message. When my wife was telling me, I go, well, why aren't they preaching? What am I doing this for? Why aren't they, if they are the best? Okay. Okay, so, okay, did you get that package of the first verse? And do you realize what this is meaning to us in our new life? Because when Jesus suffered and died, he made it possible for us to have this entirely new way. Lastly, verse 2, as newborn babes, this is the new birth, we are able to get rid of those things that are, to be honest, they are natural, but they're also on the surface. They're natural, but they actually are like mechanisms that people use out of their wounded self-life. And by the way, the more the world is selfish, the more obvious these five words will be part of everyday life. You don't have that in your everyday life. You don't do that in your everyday life. You are different. You and I don't do it. We are newborn babes and we desire, verse 2, the sincere milk of the word. So we have this wholesome milk. Babies need it to grow. It's whole, it's sincere or pure. It's contrasted deliberately with the word deceit. God's word does not deceive. Christians should approach the word with clean hearts and minds, in eager anticipation with a desire to grow spiritually. That's why you are here. You and I, we want to grow spiritually. This is why our lives are different from we have received so much, because we have a pure word that allows us to grow. Verse 2. Do you see that? We are growing because of the purity of the word. The Bible is pure. The Bible has an effect on our spirit. The Bible builds us up. And if we have tasted, verse 3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So you're built up, you are living in grace, you have the Spirit affecting you so that you're able to get rid of these things that are wrong and are not good for relationships. But the Spirit-filled life is excellent for relationships with people. I mean, honestly, you don't even realize it, but when you're with people and you are that way as a Spirit-filled, honest person, edified in the Spirit with the Word of God, and you're interacting with them, they will say they trust you eventually. They will recognize it. And so all the more in our church life, we benefit from it. And we love it. So this is verse, last one is verse 5. As lively stones, we are built up in a spiritual house, the holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So that's it. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord. Lord, so much happens around here and in Singapore because of this. So much happens. So much good things happen because of this. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We can be honest before you, Lord. The things that surface a bubble up in our hearts from our flesh. Oh, we can be so upset and emotional. But we get rid of it by just being before you and ask you to fill us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, be very thankful, a lot of thanksgiving to you, praise for what you did for us so that we could be different. Lead us and guide us in it. And as servants, Lord. And then anyone listening, we invite you to come to Christ. We invite you to say to Jesus, I put my trust in you. Give me this new life. It sounds high, way maybe beyond my capability, way beyond. It is. But the new birth isn't. It's a gift. It isn't. It's a gift. Put your trust in Jesus. Thank you, God, for saving people. Really, salvation is from God. Thank you, God. Saving people. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.